Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're drunk in all possible worlds.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we are reading Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. And Nate, starting with beer.
Yeah, so this book is called Dark Matter. One problem is, dark matter is not in the book. It is not about dark matter. However, my beer is, because this is called Cosmic Little Thing by Sierra Nevada. Cosmic Little Thing IPA, hazy, double IPA. How many percents?
All of them.
Infinite percents.
That sounds like you're a real man of science, Nate.
Yes. This beer is scientifically good.
That sounds like a science to me.
It's my hypothesis. So Blake Crouch's Dark Matter, for some reason this was recommended to me on Goodreads for the last year and a half. You know, you ever look at the books you might like part of Goodreads? This was always there. And I was like, oh, if everyone else is reading it, I won't do that. Oh, wait, but that's what we do on this podcast. So we read it. It came out in 2016 and was apparently very popular. And they're making a movie out of it, right?
That's a show.
Apple TV show.
Oh, yeah, cool. Get right on that. In a different, there's a parallel universe version of me that subscribes to Apple TV. So it starts with Jason Derulo. I forgot what his fucking last name was already. Jason Aldean Dessen, right? Short for delicatessen. They shortened it at Ellis Island. Jason Dessen, who is a middling college, at state school or nothing great shakes professor, teaching entry undergraduate physics courses. And he has, on paper, a very fine life with his hot Spanish wife who teaches art lessons.
She is very Spanish. Every time.
She just, in between painting, she just makes like paella and takes naps. She is the most Spanish. And they have their son, Charlie, who is a teenager and kind of...
Who is a character in this book, as far as I know.
Yeah, he makes two decisions, one stupid one and then one at the end. And Jason, one of the things that was, this book is not subtle. So every conversation characters have that's just supposed to be, oh, this is establishing the characters. They're like, do you ever wonder what it would be like if we had made different choices in our lives? And you're like, no, I guess I have thought about that. I have regrets, sort of, that I didn't pursue science because I was the best science. But then he had a kid because he didn't, he learned, he went to like a Texan school, so they didn't teach him about contraception. And then he was like, oh, I have to be a dad now. I can't do both. It's impossible.
And neither can she. She has to give up art.
Yeah, that thing that most people do for free anyway. So they both give up on their dreams to have a kid, and then they become, substitute teachers for art. And then his friend, whose name I also forget, I want to say Blake Crouch, but that's not his name.
Ryan?
Ryan Crumplesmith. He has won the fucking Pilates award.
What was it called? Pavia Prize.
The Pavia Prize, which I don't know if it's a real thing.
As he says, identifying the prefrontal cortex as a consciousness generator.
Yeah, Nate, I felt like the science in this book was not very sciencey.
Some of it was explained okay. Other parts of it were just kind of like, well, no, that's not real. That's like not a thing. That's not how that works.
Well, this guy, he goes to see his friend at his celebration dinner for winning the $1 million science prize.
But he still goes to the local bar.
Oh, yeah. They're still like, this book is also sucking off Chicago every time I get the chance.
They're Chicago townies.
Yeah.
The whole book is actually an elaborate metaphor of how dangerous Chicago is. That in this book, you will shoot yourself. That's how much crime is in Chicago.
But also, the pizza is so deep that there are a multitude of universes inside the deep dish pizza. he did not go to one other universe that had thin crust pizza only, and that is a crippling oversight in terms of plot.
Imagine anyway. He went into one universe and it was like Pizzeria Dos. This
oh,
isn't
God,
my home.
Go back. Go back.
It's just fucking soup in a bread bowl at this point.
But he's with his friend who, you know, has won this prize. And this is, I think, yeah, I could be wrong because I don't know science good. But, you know, you figure this guy won a $1 million science prize for some sort of neurochemistry or neurobiology. I don't know what the fuck it was. Didn't it was a science.
Brain science.
It was brain science. And then this is like the thing that they do with like Einstein. We're like, you should know, Einstein failed math in high school. Like, no, he did not. That's
no,
absolutely not true.
Didn't.
Where this guy was like, you remember when I almost failed differential equations? Like, I bet you didn't. I bet that that's not possible. Because he's pretty good at science. Like, if he did, even as a brain scientist, mass times acceleration. Which is a science, right? That's a science.
That's a physics thing. I feel like I got that wrong consistently in school.
This is from Equilibrium as 8% double India Pale Ale. And it is fine. It tastes like the other ones. Yeah, it's good.
Are you suggesting we've hit peak IPA?
I think we've just hit like IPA saturation. Like it's not bad. I like it. But it is like the multiverse is one in a million or an infinite number of expanding IPA selection.
That might be actually true. So he goes and has drinks with his friend and his friend again rubs in like, don't you think this should have been you? Shouldn't you have won this award? Because you were the smart one. You were the Mozart of physics or something.
But how is your hot Spanish wife?
Is she still muy caliente?
You know who's playing her in the TV show?
I hope it's not. You know what? I hope it's Hilaria Baldwin. Someone who is only Spanish in a different universe.
Not even. It's Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, who is not even pretend Spanish.
Is not even Spanish. And the shrink later on is a woman who is Hispanic, which would be closer, at least. How are they going to get through any of the lines in the show without mentioning her dark Spanish eyes? It's like, have you ever met a Spanish person? I don't understand.
This guy's name is Blake Crouch. I don't know if he met too many Spanish people.
He confuses them in
sailing
and everyone else.
But he probably, he just watched a lot of porn with Latin mommies.
He doesn't know the difference between Spain and that.
No.
So he goes to this thing and he tells his wife, like, I'll be right back. Make me a nice deep dish pizza while I'm gone.
She's cooking a Spanish thing. It's like her abuela's recipe. That is actually in the book.
He has two drinks at the bar and then he's picks up some ice cream and then he gets kidnapped. A guy wearing a mask comes up to him and says, get in the car with a gun. It says, get in the car. And then he drives him around. He was like, you know, you're being kidnapped. Sorry. And drives him to.
Very polite.
Man. Sorry, man. You know how
also,
it goes.
He's wearing a geisha mask, which is a strange choice.
And one of those details that never mattered. Like,
it would matter. Like, do geishas have something to do with physics? But no,
oddly specific, he's wearing like, where did he find the kabuki wardrobe?
In Japantown. Where they make deep dish sushi.
That's on the south side of Chicago, yes. It's the far east side of Chicago is where you find the kabuki stores.
So he gets kidnapped and the guy in a mask drives him out to like the middle of nowhere and like a power station somewhere in Chicago or around Chicago. Tells him some like stuff like, do you like your life? He's like, what? Which almost sounded like, do you feel lucky, punk? But that isn't what he said. But then he's like, take off your clothes. It's like, what is this?
I'm a geisha.
Actually, I'm a geisha. I'm a rapier. He does say, is he going to rape me? He does think that for a second.
And then the guy injects him with something. And then he like passes out. And then he wakes up and he's like, this is weird. Why am I in this weird metal box? And then he gets out and there's like a whole team of people that are like, oh my God, he's come back. and they know him. It's like, it's Jason. Jason, you're back. Why? And they're like in like hazmat suits and they're like, decontamination. And he like goes through this thing and they like clean him up and then they try and talk to him and they're like, Jason, we're so glad you're back. I'm like, and he's like, I have no idea who these people are. What is going on? This is crazy. But it takes him all of minutes to be like, am I in the wrong universe? It like really does not take him long to figure that out.
Well, he goes back to, he escapes from this top secret lair by going out the bathroom window like you always do. And then he goes back to his house and it's like, it's different. And there's no hot Spanish woman. This must be something is wrong.
Everybody's like, oh my God, this is a much more finely furnished and renovated home.
There's no shitty macaroni pictures of my idiot son, who was a teenager.
Yeah, his teenage
son.
Why
do they still have that? Either that picture has been up there way too long, or he's way too slow at making them. Like, if your 13-year-old son, he was like, look, I made a macaroni picture for you. Like, why did you do this? What's wrong with you?
And his wife's, in my country, this is the epitome of art. He's like, I'm going to have to trust you on that one.
Franco burned all the other art.
But in her house, they still can't have SpaghettiOs because they're made by Franco American. She gets very, very triggered by it. But he goes to his house and then he's like, oh, this is weird. And they capture him, right? And then he escapes. It's like he gets there. They start really slow with the goons.
They try to capture him. But he once again escapes from this, you know, highly trained
in a brownstone, which means it has one fucking door.
Yeah, but they never check the bathroom windows. So he gets out, and then he goes to visit. He looks up his wife in the phone book because in this universe they still use those in 2016, and he sees his wife under her maiden name. He's like, I've got to find out what's going on. And he goes to her art show and sees her really, really sophomore level art show.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what if the things we do affected different things? And like, look at all the choices. Like, oh, wow, I can see that this author didn't go to art school.
This is, well, you know what? That is exactly the kind of bullshit you do see at art school.
Yeah, but not for one who is going to blow up big.
No, grande. But it's also another example of the subtlety in the book when her entire art thing is about how your choices in life, you don't know what they're going to do, how they'll affect you. And it ends with a shot of like a family, like a parents and a child. And that's... It's like, oh, that's what he's going to spend the rest of the book looking for. What are the odds? Like, what? I mean, I guess it would just would have been an odd detail if her show was about, like, menstruation in a post-capitalist world or something, you know, pretentious. Like, everything. It's just, like, Andy Warhol-type portraits of Reagan drawn in period blood.
Yeah, that's definitely been done.
That's 100%. Like, that quest is so brave. So he goes to her art show and is like, this is the best art I've ever seen, because he's only seen macaroni pictures. And then she sees him. He's like, I can't believe you came to my art show. Even though I haven't seen you in years, you were somehow the inspiration for this because you made a passing comment to me about choices.
She saw him a year ago.
Well, he's been in the machine for a year or something like that.
Yeah, he came to her to ramble about choices because he had banged her once like a long time ago and said like, hey, do you ever think about particle physics? She's like, what?
And then she's sort of dating the friend whose name I still can't remember. Ryan, something like that. He's not famous in this. He's not a big successful scientist because Jason became the successful scientist. It's basically It's a Wonderful Life, but quantum mechanics version of it, which I can't think of a pun
for.
But
the Deepak Chopra version of quantum mechanics, where it's just wherever you want it to be.
Deep Dish Pak Chopra, because it's
deep
Chicago.
Dish, quantum Deep Dish.
That is the premier Chicago particle physics rock band. Quantum Deep Dish. And so then they somehow hang out, and he's like, listen, guys, can I tell you something crazy? I think I'm in the wrong universe. And Ryan's like, that seems really dumb. I'm going to leave you here with my girlfriend who you claim is your wife in this other universe. And she's like, let him cook. Let's see what happens. And then about 7.5 minutes later, they have sex. And he's like, it's not cheating. It's my wife. And he accepts that real fast.
Convenient.
And then
after they have sex, goons bust in the door and shoot her in the head and then kidnap him and take him to some secret evil lair. And then the guy is like, look what you made me do. And then he explains to him this whole thing like, Jason, what is going on? You created this, all of this. As far as the eye can see, it's yours. No, he says, for 10 years, we supplied you the money, billions of dollars of research, but you did it. You created the box. The what? And then he's like, go look at your notes. And so he like spends the next 2 days looking at his lab notes and realized that this experiment that he had started 15 years ago, but then stopped because his girlfriend got pregnant. He started this experiment about quantum mechanics where he was trying to have a sort of normal sized object or a macro sized object exist in a quantum state, meaning in a quantum superposition between two states, which this whole thing already doesn't make sense, but
it does if you don't know anything about physics.
That's what his experiment that he was going to start 15 years ago, but he never got to finish, was going to be about. But then in this universe, this world, this universe, he instead told, I've already forgotten his wife's name. Holy shit. What's her?
Senorita Daniela.
Daniela told her to go take care of that. And then I need to do my research. Yeah, and then
I need that to exist in a not so super position.
It's not so super for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Schrodinger's embryo. And so
what the fuck, by the way, is a quantum superposition? Because I don't know. To me, a superposition is girl on top. Like, that's probably my favorite position. But I don't know what other superpositions there are. It's like, this is a great one. This is top three positions. Nate, what does that mean?
Okay. So, the world of very, very small particles, like protons, electrons.
Girl, I'm still understanding it in my analogy when you talk about very small things. Go on.
On that scale, things just act a lot differently than what we're used to. So
again, this is what I say when I prematurely ejaculate. At that scale, you don't know what's going to happen with them.
So there's a whole lot of math, a lot of equations that go into what's called quantum mechanics that you were sort of like, where is the electron? Is like, because the electrons are supposed to sort of orbit around the protons, around a nucleus, but like, where is it exactly is the problem. Like, is the electron in one place? We just can't say for sure. We can only say probabilistically. It's like 25% chances over here, 25% chances over there, 50% chances over here, and we don't know until we measure it.
It's just like in physics, I saw someone talk about it, was like, when you get down to it, they think like nothing actually is where it is. It's just more likely to be there than it isn't, or some shit like that.
That's definitely the same topic that they were talking about. Yeah,
this is starting to sound like the looking for the female orgasm here. Like it's
it's kind of like, is the electron, does it actually exist in one place or does it not exist in one specific place until you go and try and measure it? That's the observer effect. Does it actually? It's when you try and measure it that the I'm totally blanking on the term right now, that it actually sort of kind of appears in one place because it needs to interact with anything. So does all of this stuff that is sort of on a tiny, tiny scale, is it sort of not in one place, or is it not just one thing in one place and it kind of exists in many states until you measure it? Or does it actually exist in one place? And then, you know, so, okay, that's what the math kind of doesn't say. Like, this is, you know, the work of Schrodinger and Einstein and like Heisenberg going all the way back to like the 1920s and 1930s. And even since then, there is no like, even physicists have not come up with really a, you know, clear, definite answer. Like, oh, here's what's actually going on. and everything just sort of exists in a, like, well, it could be over here or it could be over there until we measure it. Now, in the either like late 1940s, I think, a grad student came up with this idea, like, called the, this is called the many worlds hypothesis. It's kind of like, well, what if every time something interacts, what if it actually does all the things? It can only do one thing at a time. So in our universe, the electron went left, but in another universe, it went right. And the hypothesis is that what if it just did all the things, but there's just a sort of infinite number of multiple universes where every single thing that could happen, it happens in one of those universes. Every single time a particle interacts with another, the whole thing splits off into another universe. It solves one problem in that, well, why does any one thing happen rather than the other? Well, they all happen. But the problem is with this theory is, so where are all of these universes? Like, where are they? Can we find them? Can we interact them with them? Can we detect them? No, not at all. So that's the problem with this theory, but it is the basis of this entire book. The idea that Jason invented this thing that could access these other parallel worlds.
I understood 63% of what you said.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. I'm rounding up. But like, can't they just be like, I don't know where it is. It's like, I don't know where my car keys are right now. But like, I could find it. Like, it's not like they're moving around. They're somewhere in the house and then I'll find them. I don't need to, I'll measure them when I find them. It just seems like, why can't they just accept that? Why can't science be like, it's one of those places, but we don't know right now because we're not looking at it. Because it's, you know, really small. And then when we look, oh, they're like, oh, there, it's right over there. Why can't they just accept it was there before I looked at it? I don't understand why. It was there the whole fucking time. I just didn't happen to notice it. I don't understand why that's not an option. Yeah,
you might
explain
be right.
That bullshit.
It could
to me.
Be, but here's the thing: when you're talking about an electron, how do you even detect it besides bouncing a photon off of it? But if you bounce a photon off of it, it's now somewhere else. It's now literally done something different because you can't just like look at it and see, aha, yeah, there it is. You actually are changing the state just by measuring it. So there kind of is no way to prove it's definitely in one place besides that, oh, it's 50% over here, 50% over there.
And to risk sound even stupider than I am, and half sounded, why do we care that much about where electrons are?
Why is that important? So this gets to the question of what is the universe really?
Suffering.
That's the thing. What is the universe actually made of? Is like why we want to know the answer to this question. What does it do?
So do they look at them and then not find them sometimes? Or do they always find them? Because I guess if you're looking at it, you have to
Where is it? It's either over there or over there, but like which one is it until you look?
This is fucking
confusing. It both? Is it maybe both? That's the quantum superposition. Like, hey, it's kind of both until you look at it. Maybe.
Oh, so it's in both. It's like the shocker of positions. No. I think most of the universe is made of dark matter, Nate. I think everyone fucking knows that. Even though this book doesn't talk about it
at all. This book doesn't talk about it at all.
It mentions it once. It exists, or they, you know, the concept exists, and then they never go into it again. Were they hinting that the multiverse is in the dark matter, and he just forgot to write that line? I don't know.
I think they'll get it. Everything else I'm going to lay out real obviously, but this is the Easter egg for the fans.
Yeah, what the title is actually about. Though there's a pretty good chance that like the publisher picked the title and not Blake Crouch. So
maybe the dark matter is his swarthy Spanish wife that everyone's obsessed with.
True.
She has dark Spanish eyes that matter to him.
I think you cracked it. Yeah,
I didn't. There you go. So also. I don't understand how the machine alleges to work in this book because it sounds like they just go into like a magician's box with no buttons and they trip balls into another universe.
They take a magic drug that suppresses the part of your brain that does science stuff. And because no one can observe you while you're in the box, you can go into a dimensional hallway full of of Dorian.
You can supposedly you can access these other universes, and you do it by opening the door into another one. You're like in the box, and then there's a long hallway which is in another universe, and then you open a door and just see what's in this one.
This is a sequel to the Aldous Huxley book,
Brave New World.
Was it Doors of Perception?
Oh, I mean, I've never read it. Isn't that about tripping on acid?
Yeah, this book is about tripping on acid.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But they go into this, so like, I don't understand what he invented as the brilliant scientist.
He invented a fucking box.
He invented blackout curtains.
Yeah, but it's like, it keeps out like all senses instead of just light.
Yeah, they can't x-ray the box or something. It's electro, no EMP can get through it or some shit.
It does a lot of magnets, but it's not, it's so airtight and so well constructed that it sealed off from the universe.
Oh yeah, right. Of course. There's a passage when he reads his notes from the other version of him that's clearly ripped off from The Time Machine. Did you catch where it's like, we know there are three dimensions and a fourth dimension time, and we need to add a fifth dimension, quantum elevators, or whatever the fuck it was. Yaw, the fifth dimension, or pitch, or some shit. But it reminded me of the beginning of Time Machine. So he reads the notes. He's like, God damn it, I was so smart. I just had to make my girlfriend have an abortion, and I would have figured this shit right out. And then, they killed his wife, doppelganger, and then they bring in, they're like, he tries to play along with them. And he's like, yes, I'm sorry. I panicked because I was in the
My
box.
My brain
for a
hurts
while.
From all the ketamine.
Yeah, it was really odd. And, it took a while. I'd open a few doors. And then, I was scared. And I go, that's my bad. I forget, who was the bad guy? Because he just disappears from the book in the middle.
Yeah, he was just the head of the corporation that gave him the money.
And he's like, I know, that's my bad. And then all of a sudden they change tone and they bring in Ryan, who snitched him out. He snitched out Jason. And they're like, did you tell him shit? And he's like, I don't know, definitely not. And so then they shoot that guy. Because this is the part I don't really get, besides all of the science. So it's not a good start. Why is this company so evil to protect this machine that I don't really understand what the practical use of it is? Like, how are they going to make money from this product that they've invested billions of dollars
in? I'm sure if you can find a way to dip in and out of other universes, you could make some money off of that.
But it's just, so is it implicit that they're just predators? They're just going to like steal the resources from a different universe?
So this is when I realized that this book is just like the Da Vinci Code, except it's science instead of art. So it's a thrill. It's actually really just a thriller, but it uses like science terms to like make the plot go along rather than art history. But it has a lot of the same elements because it's got like the evil shadowy corporation thing that's like pulling the strings.
He's got a lady assistant.
You've got the goons who are relentless, but then they just vanish from the plot eventually too.
Well, it's because the plot was premised on like this device that can make you disappear to another universe. So
it's hard to follow at that point.
Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. Yeah. There are many problems with the plot. One problem is, so how is it that like, oh yeah. So Jason figures out that the guy who kidnapped him way back in the beginning of the book, that's him, the one from this universe. Jason, what he calls Jason 2 throughout the rest of the book. Jason 2, the one that figured out the science.
The shitty one, Jason number 2. I didn't know anything about this book going in, but I knew that from the beginning. Like, wasn't it pretty fucking obvious that's what was happening?
Yeah, once you know, like, it's a multiverse book.
But I didn't know anything. I just, like, this guy's like, give me your clothes. What do you call your wife? Why did you go out shopping? All right, get the fuck in there. Are you happy with your life? Like, it's so obvious that guy is going to steal his identity. I didn't know multiverses were how it was happening, but I thought it was going to be time travel, honestly. But it's pretty clear. And then he's like, oh, fuck.
Blake Crouch has a book about time travel also.
Of course he does. Darker Matter.
So this was actually the second time I read this. So it was actually even lamer the second time when I'm like, now I really know what's going to happen.
It's
How did Jason 1 make it back to the exact universe that Jason 2 is from. Like, because the premise of, like, the rest of the book is, like, how do I get back to my universe? How do I do that? Why didn't you just kill him? Why didn't Jason 2 just be like, oh, sorry, let me, here's a shallow grave. Nice seeing you.
They kind of answer that, I think, or Crouch answered it. One, he's still not all bad, so he wanted to just, you know, he... You know, Jason 2 is like, we'll swap because I bet you regret, because he's been like watching Jason 1. So he's like, I bet you, I know you regret not doing these things. Well, here's your chance to live that life. So he didn't want to kill him. Like, that was a way of justifying his actions. And two, the whole like, how did he find these universes? Because he also had to like build the box in Jason 1's universe. It didn't exist there.
But the box seems to exist in all universes now.
Okay, fine.
Did he
build then,
one of them? Yeah.
But Jason 2 has been spent 14 months in the multiverse, so he's figured it out, is what I think we're supposed to assume. That he's like understood that if you journal hard enough, you can go to the world you want to.
It's like The Secret, yeah.
It was, what was that book with the you time travel by eating pork chops? And again.
Yeah. Method acting, which is kind of how this one works, is you have to like,
yeah,
think about it hard enough.
Again, like all the details, right? And then you can go to the right world.
So, yeah, I mean, there's certainly multiple levels of suspension of disbelief for plot purposes. But yeah, it is just like, how to get back? I don't know. Because you have to go the whole way to end up in the other ones. But maybe he brought, because he knocks him out. Because when they give him the drugs or the other times, he's conscious. But this time he pumped him full of ketamine and put him in there by himself. So maybe he dropped him off on the way to another universe. Who knows? But either way, there's a nice lady who works at the evil company. She's like, we're going to get out of here. I didn't sign up for murder. But then they escape into the box and they take the bag full of, you know, drugs, as you do when you go on a trip with a friend. And they say, like, let's get out of this universe. I didn't like it here anyway. And they get into the box, and then they're on a multiverse trip, which is where, you know, you want the cool stuff to happen.
And so then they begin trying to figure out how to multiverse travel by going into random doors in this hallway, and they go to, like, Volcano World.
It looks like
a
Ramada, you know, it's just, they're all the same, it's confusing.
It's like that scene in every episode of Scooby-Doo where there's a chase in the hallway, and they're going in and out of the different doors. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, like, except sometimes there's multiple versions of them doing it too.
Oh yeah, that gets wild later on. I think they did that on the episode of Scooby-Doo with the Globetrotters were on it. But so they start going to where they go to Volcano World, where everything was the same except magically a super volcano killed the Earth 5 minutes ago. And oh sure, well, that's a bummer.
Hey, it happened in Volcano, that movie about the secret volcano under Los Angeles.
Starring the late Anne Heche, who somehow died before the other star that was Tommy Lee Jones.
That was Dante's Peak, which was the other volcano movie that came out.
No, Dante's Peak was, isn't that with Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, but what, Anne Heche in that one? Oh, that was Anne Heche
is the one in Volcano when, because she's the scientist one who's like, don't you understand? Like, the La Brea tar pits are hot now, and they're like, it's sunny, and she's like, it can't get that hot, or something, and then...
It was a weird thing, because they both came out like the same year, like when Armageddon and Deep Impact came at the same time. It's like, what's going on? Why are they doing this to us?
Multiverse, it was.
So the multiverses collided.
They collapsed into our universe, yeah.
One of these multiverses, only Dante's Peak exists, and that's a good universe.
I like the universe where none of them exist.
There's so many universes, and there's so many weird little subtle differences, and you got to figure, if there's multiple infinite universes, there's got to be one where instead of the Golden Girls, there's the Golden Squirrels.
Oh my God.
And so stupid.
That is,
this is from KCBC, and it's a, what is it, fucking IPA, isn't it? Yeah, it's a hazy IPA, the usual. Tastes like the other one. They're pretty similar. Okay. They're both good, but, you know, yeah.
We should say, by the way, that these beers are brought to us by our supporters over at Patreon. If you want to help the podcast out, you can go to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub, or just leave us a review. In fact, right now, go leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening, or write something nice, or just yell our name into the multiverse, so that way all of your doppelgangers can rate it too.
or into the mouth of a stranger. They'll appreciate it.
Yeah, it's like feeding a baby bird. That's the best way to pass on podcast recommendations.
That's what they mean by word of mouth.
That's, yeah, there he is. So, yeah, they're in the multiverse, and they go through a bunch of random ones for fun adventures. It's like one of the, it's like that scene in every 80s movie where they have the makeover, and the person comes out of the changing room, and they're like, nope, not that one. And they go back in, they come out, like, how about now? And they have like a boa on and sunglasses, like, nope, not ready for prom yet. So they just keep going in and out until they're going to get to the real world. And they realize this is a fucking stupid plan.
Because they have a limited number of trips because they only brought enough acid for 25 trips because there's two of them. So they got to figure out how to get back to it.
Or 50 trips, so it doesn't matter.
And they keep going to the absolute worst places, the absolute worst universes. First is the hot planet. Then there's the cold planet where it doesn't even explain why it's so cold, but it's like bitterly cold. And they see, they like, you know, open the door and they like walk through the snow to a house where everyone's dead and they're like, they've starved to death. And it's like, well, what is going on
they
here?
I guess the leather off the chair.
I guess it reminded me of the road.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This little section.
That was the universe where several children left the door open with the air conditioner on and it just killed everybody.
They probably left the light on in the kitchen too. Man. So then like they almost die and then they go back out and then they go to the disease planet where Chicago, everyone's dying of a horrible pandemic disease.
COVID-16. they all have the stand. They have like bubonic plague. They all have plague.
They're all melting because the deep dish pizza was far too hot.
This is a pizzeria. Oh, no's.
And he goes to his house and he's like, I got to go check on my wife. And the shrink's
Amy?
Name?
Was it Amy? Amanda? Something with an A. Allison?
Yeah.
It's an A name. I don't remember what
the
it was.
The shrink was just like, dude, this is not our universe. He's like, I got to check.
He's
like,
yeah, he's an asshole.
We know it's not. And it's like, my wife is in there. She's dying. Like, that's not your wife. Like, let me just mercy kill her. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and then FEMA comes around and gives him enough morphine to kill her.
Yeah, because she's got mush disease. And then he's
they
like...
They have large pox. they just have boils that their insides seep out of. Some sort of chicken pox Ebola hybrid.
I wrote this one down because it was silly. He's with a shrink, so she can analyze his decision-making. And it's like, you wanted to go to the disease planet so you could kill your wife, so you could get over the trauma of your mother dying when you were young and you not being there. It's like, that must be it. It's like, that's a leap, but all right.
Yeah, and then I thought, is that going to be a recurring thing? No, it's that one scene where she...
Oh, I mean, now he's dealt with the trauma. He can move on. Now he can get over the time that his pants fell off at a pool party when he was 14.
But they realize they can influence the world they go to because why not? That could, you know, that makes as much sense as anything else in the book.
Because otherwise it would be completely random and there would be no way to get back home.
Right. So there has to be a way to guide them there. So they start trying to hack the system. You know, it's like Jumanji. They're like trying to have the dice land on 5. They're trying to cheat. And they keep getting into worlds that are almost the same. Like some little detail is off. And they get into one where, you know, I don't know.
Every day is Tuesday.
Yeah, everything's like a little bit different. They're like, that's where you know. Wait a second. The Chicago's World Fair was 1902 in this world, or whatever fucking dumb subtle differences there are that don't matter. But eventually they find...
Hot cats. They're hot dogs.
He's like, I need to get back to the right Chicago, my Chicago. Or we would spend Saturday in the park. She's like, I don't get it. He's like, you really don't know the band Chicago?
How many ampoules do we have left? I don't know, 25 or 6 to 4?
And then she's like, I think we should split up. He's like, no, if you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me. Nate, come on, you have to know Chicago songs.
I only know the 25 or 6 to 4.
Oh, that's okay. That's the only one anyone needs to know. And they don't even need to know that.
That's the only one that's like not you're like, is this a Village Person song? Like, it's not the only one that's like not, oh, this is a little, you know, these guys were definitely shirtless with oiled chests in the 70s sounding. So eventually he splits up with Amanda. She leaves and he's like, oh, fuck.
She's worried that she's influencing his decisions and he'll never truly want to get home to his wife if he's got another lady around. Because she's got it going on.
She tries to bang him at one point, and he's like, I can't bang you. I can only bang clones of my wife. And
not even clones. Clones is cheating. Multiverses is not cheating.
He's just looking for the right multiverse where his wife was really into butt stuff. It's like, this is it. This is the one. but eventually she leaves him. And that's a convenient thing in this book, by the way. And they're like, what do I do with that character? I know. Just leave them in one of the verses. And then characters just vanish from the plot, never seen to be seen again. But so then he spends a while not sure what to do with nursing his last few ampules, being a hobo. And I think this is around the time when he takes the first of a few Imperial donut breaks. Because he's begging and eating, shit off the floor. And this is from Evil Twin. And we've had this like 19 times before. It is a little bitter than I remember, but whatever. You'd be bitter, too, if someone stole your life. So then eventually he gets back to his world, right? That's about two-thirds through the book. He figures
on his last trip, because he's second, got he has
one more ampule, but then he loses that. And I thought that was going to matter, too, because he's living in a motel, and he has hidden it in the drawer with the Bible. And then he's like, I lost that. And did you need it? You're in the right world now, finally, but...
So he's finally in the right world, but the problem is other Jasons also show up. So not only is Jason 2 there, but also other Jason 1s. Like other, because at first I was like, wait, what's going on? Oh, because every time he took a decision in one of the other, when he was like traveling through the other multiverses trying to get back, every time you make a in this world, right, in this book universe, every time you make a decision, the world splits. And so all of those other Jasons of every single time he took a decision to do one thing or the other, there's like a split, and some of those managed to find their way back to this same thing. So there at one point they were all Jason 1, but now they've like split multiple times, like bazillions of times, and some of them are now finding it back.
It's like doing outlaw long form outlining. There's Jason 1A, Jason 1B. They should be named like that. I thought it'd be really funny if he ran into like other versions of him, because there's like just two that really matter or that have different personalities. There's Jason 1, who is the nice guy, and Jason 2, who is the mean one who stole his life. But I thought it'd be awesome if there was like Jason 17, who had become a raw foodist 2 years before, and he's constantly talking about that.
Well, he has those Jasons, but they're all in the other universes that he visits. So it's like, this isn't mine, that's other Jason.
Right. There's like anti-vax Jason. Just complaining.
This Jason decided to become a baker and he only wears hand-knit sweaters.
There's the Jason who did a semester abroad in Japan, so he still bows to people.
There's all the Jasons that made it back are him, so they're not...
Right.
They're too recent to be differentiated.
I think there's at least one Jason who's from a universe where they still have Adobe Flash. What do you mean I can't play on Ebaum's world?
There is the one Jason who has a scar on his face, and that's different.
Oh, yeah, but it's a fresh one. He got it, from turning tricks under a bridge 2 weeks earlier.
Then, yeah, as you do.
Yeah,
Dick stays the same in this universe.
So then now they're all... in a weird thing, because they all think that they're the right Jason.
Technically, they are all the right Jason.
Right. That's kind of a mindfuck thing that I thought would matter more in the book. Like, he would reflect on that. Like, wait, am I the right one? Who is... But no.
He did a little bit because, well, first he tries to... He, like, goes to a thing, and I don't quite understand how this worked, but he like signs on to some like web server.
An email address with his like, if I made an email address, what would it be? And he logs in because they all had the same thought process of, if I made an email address, what would I be? And so now they all have access to it because they all think the same.
And he logs into some chat room and there are like eight other Jasons there, which are all eight other versions of him. And they're all like, no, she's mine. And they're all like, because he tries to go to the gun store and like buy a gun. And they're like, weren't you here 2 days ago? And he's like, no.
Sir, this is Chicago. You just buy those on the street. You don't have to go get a permit.
Yeah, and they yell at him. And that's when he's like, well, is there another one? Is there like, are there must be other Jasons here? So he talks to a few of them. And they're like, oh, I've seen things. And they're all like, because all these other Jasons went through crazy shit too. Even more like crazy universes.
Went to one where every restaurant was an IHOP. Every single restaurant.
Went to the one universe where tipping was always included on your bill. Even if it's a party of three? It's just absurd. Subtly different universes.
The horror.
There's the one universe where America actually did switch to metric.
And so he's like, that's weird. He goes back to his like cheap hotel room and like the phone rings and he's like, hello. And there's nothing on the other line. And then it rings again. And he's like, hello. And it's like, and then he figures out through something, well, if it was me, what would I do? And it's like, they just called to see if it was there. And then they called the front desk and said, I got disconnected. What room was that? Oh yeah, it's that room. Because also he checked in under his father's name, his grandfather's name, something like that, which all the other Jasons know, obviously. So then within minutes, somebody like literally comes and tries to kill him, as in somebody is in another Jason, comes to kill him. So he runs out the back, runs into like, you know, is out in the middle of Chicago. So he like goes into a bar and like hides in the crowd in the bar watching a basketball game. And then he likes, and then finally at the end of the night, he like sits down at the bar and he orders one drink and another Jason walks up next to him and it's like, hey man. And, but they say it, you know, when you
suck your dick for money,
it's not gay if we're the same person.
It's just the masturbating our teenage self wished we could have done.
And like any other guy, and the other Jason's like, I'd do anything to keep her. She's mine. And like, no, she's mine. And then they kind of go on their way. And then Jason one, the one that's been the narrator the whole book, got to specify. He's like, I know, I'll use randomness. Cause it's just so I don't keep running into the same Jasons over and over again. Cause we keep having the same ideas. I'll use randomness to come up with a thing. Except the thing that he does is not random, which was dumb.
It was a good plan though.
So what he does is he like goes and gets himself arrested. He like goes to a diner and then like starts to smoke a cigar but it's a non-smoking thing. So he like gets arrested, goes to the, and then when he gets brought down to the precinct, he's like, can I have my one phone call? And then he calls Daniela because he's in the right universe. So he's in the right one. He knows it is because he like knows that he backed into a, also his, okay. Got to back up for a second. It's his proof where he's like, I'm sure this is the right one, is because he knows that 2 weeks before he was kidnapped, he had like backed into like a parking meter and he knows exactly what the dents look like on the back of his car. It's like, technically that would have happened in an infinite number of universes. Like that isn't proof that he's in the right one. What would proof be? I have no idea. But anyway, his idea was like, I'll be random. I'll randomly get myself arrested, except that's not actually random. Like Blake Crouch here has this whole book about quantum mechanics. He could have used some sort of quantum mechanics to like come up with something truly random. Like I'm going to generate this truly random number. I'll have all of these options and then I'll choose a random number or through particle decay to have me go choose where my path. And I figured like, oh, that would actually be using his science background to actually do something random. Nope, doesn't do that.
Well, if he was, I think, Nate, what he could have done as a true nerd is if he's like, I need a random number, he could have pulled out the 20-sided die he carries with him everywhere. I have this and a 4-sided die, which is cool because you need that sometimes.
That's to calculate damage.
Fuck if I know.
But, it's a 4-sided die. Does that exist in three dimensions?
Yeah, it's a pyramid with a 3-sided.
Oh, yeah, it is. Right,
sides,
right, right.
Basically. Come on. Just fucking. We're not supposed to know science. We should know Euclidean geometry, Jimmy.
Do you have a D, bro?
Your mom touches my D. So he gets arrested and she comes to bail him out. And he's like, she's like, this doesn't make any sense because you went to work and you look like a bum now. This is weird. He's like, quick, ask me something I would need to know from a month ago or something like that. And she somehow that convinces her. And she calls up the Jason 2 who's at work, who's been the model husband. He's like passionate, and he listens, and he wants to spend time with the family, and he's like, a nicer guy. And he does, she never say what, but at one point they have an awkward conversation. He's like, so you've been fucking Jason too, huh? What's that like? And she's like, it's different. he does things that you don't do anymore. It's like, what are the things that he stopped doing?
The pinky in the butthole.
I mean, I feel like if you ever did peeing in the butthole, you only move up from there. That's not an only during dating kind of move. But she accepts it for whatever reason. And then it's like, all right, we need to go tell our son to break out of high school. We'll pick him up in a cab. And they take an Uber over there. And then they all go on the run from the increasing army of Jasons. It's like in the shitty second Matrix when there was like 97 Agent Smiths.
Or like hundreds of them.
Yeah. But it's all Jasons. And they're just, every time they pass an alleyway, a different bum comes out and it's him. Dressed like
So I was thinking that actually there would be an infinite number of Jasons. There would be an infinite number that would keep going back to this universe, because every time any one Jason makes a decision, the universe splits, and then there's the second one, and then some of them are going to make it back to this one. And even if only half of them make it back, well, half of infinity, still infinity. So there's going to be an infinite number of them that are going to keep coming back to this universe to try and, like, rescue Daniela from the other Jason. So they would definitely never be safe. So when he like runs away with them, and then he goes on to the chat room and he's like, I've got a plan. We'll all meet at the power station and we'll like fight it out, or like
we'll have an old stool church picnic raffle.
Yeah. And whoever wins, we'll get to keep Daniela, and the rest of us, we'll just leave him alone. And of course, and that's what he tells the other Jasons in the chat room he's going to do. Except that doesn't work, because they still manage to show up at the random cabin in Wisconsin they're hiding
because
out
of
at.
The kid.
Yeah, because
the stupid kid turns on his cell phone, and then they have the Find My Phone thing on the thing, and they're able to track him because of that. The one thing the kid does in the book so far is fuck it up.
He also made a macaroni picture.
I think he turned on the phone because he's like, where can I get more spaghettis? And then... But
I'm feeling artistic today.
But they were like, they're hanging out, and they broke into somebody's, Wisconsin cabin, and they're just hanging out, going to see movies. Like they spent 6 hours driving to escape. They didn't really run that much, Didn't that like not make sense to you? That they're like, we're on the run.
Honestly,
we'll never be safe.
If you've ever been to Chicago, to Illinois, you'll know how much they hate Wisconsin. And they would never go there. They didn't think anyone would find them.
It's the perfect place to hide. But yeah, they just hang out in this house. And they're like, what's our plan? We're just hanging out here. Going to hear local country western cover bands.
As the ever-increasing number of Jasons slowly consumes this universe like locusts. Soon, all things will be Jason.
And not only that, but... Even at the end of the book, when the Jason 1 finally does kind of escape, which we'll get there, the other Jasons don't know that. They're going to keep showing up forever, literally till like the end of time. They're just going to keep showing up.
This earth is doomed.
Entirely. So anyway, they're out at the cabin in Wisconsin, and a bunch of Jasons show up, and there are like three dead ones, and then one like breaks in. He's like, take off your clothes. And it's like, oh, not this again. And it's actually Jason 2. Like the original imposter shows up and is like, I gave you this chance. You could have had the success you've always wanted, and you threw it away to come back here. He's like, but I just wanted a family. And so they like fight him, and then Jason 1 stabs him a bunch of times. And he's like, we have to escape. He's like, quick.
Murders him in front of his wife and kid.
Savagely murders himself.
Yeah. He yeah, like no, guts suicide. Him. He stabs
that
him.
Suicide.
I mean, self harm is bad. We shouldn't make light of it. But he stabs him to the guy's bleeding and just wheezing out inaudible words. And they're like, "Fuck him. Let's leave him, family." It's a savage scene. Like my son like, will get over it.
Where'd you park the car? And so like, it's up the road. So he piles the family in the van.
And he says, "Check the glove box." That's the other thing.
He like they get in the van and then they ended up having to like run over another Jason.
They hear gunshots from the house. Like they, yeah. Someone finished off the other Jason.
Jason Thunderdome.
Jason Royale.
So and then they and so did like Daniela opens the glove box and it's the satchel of ampules of the chemical.
Is that one of the Wheel of Time books?
Could be. That's a prequel. So they're like, I know, here's what we have to do. So they go back into town, into Chicago. They go to the power station with, and then there are like 50 Jasons just waiting there. And Danielle is like, all of you back the fuck off. I know you all care about me. One of you tried to shoot us and kill us. We're leaving. And so they have more ampules. And so like, we're all three of us, both Jason one and Daniela and Charlie, they're all going to take the magic chemical and get in the box, and then they're going to escape to another universe.
And they're going to let the kid pick, so you know where they're going.
Macaroni. They're going to Italy.
Macaroni Planet, baby.
Planet Macaroni sounds like a terrible chain restaurant.
It's next to Rainforest Cafe.
And then they're like, wherever we go, we'll just be followed by more fucking Jasons. And they're like, no, that's why we let the boy pick. Our simple son, Charlie.
Yeah, but that's also not a good solution, because then the other Jasons can just be like, you know, write in their like dream journal, I want to go where Charlie took them. And then they would just follow them there. Like, that's the same journal. Way they got to the first.
They seem to make it harder than that, though, because he kept in a journal like, I want to go to home, and it was, he went to like 20 different places that were close but not the right one. So I guess they're hedging their bets.
Yeah, but they eventually figured it out. Like, all of these Jasons figured it out, so it can't be that hard.
Well, figured it out pretty quickly, actually.
Infinite anything, you know.
Yeah, so he had an infinite number of choices, and he figured out the right one in only 20 something tries.
And he was by the time he got there, he was Jason 9 in the chat, so he wasn't even the first one to make it back.
That's a good point. And then there should have been some sort of like Ubik type thing, like am I the real one or not the real one kind of thing, or like
there was a little bit of it,
Memento
but,
or something. But
this, yeah, I guess now the book is done, we can, you know, discuss
reception. That's what it really is.
Quality.
Am I
of
dreaming
it?
Or not?
Because you know it was a peculiar mix of highbrow and lowbrow,
a la Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, it was interesting. I liked it as throwaway thriller schlock.
Oh yeah,
it required a lot of suspension of disbelief. I was kind of like pretty meh on it until he got back and all the other Jasons started showing up. Like, okay, that's actually pretty clever. That makes it a little more interesting. It was just multiverse shit, you know. Even though the book is 10 years old at this point, reading it now, it's a pretty tired concept. Unless you do it, something interesting with it, which something interesting with it is 50 other Jasons show up. That made it different. I kind of like that. The rest of it was unsubstantial. I don't know.
There's a million books that already did, or movies or whatever, that already did some version of this. You know, I'm trying to remember. I read a graphic novel last year that was like Polaris science thing. Who wrote that? It's like a Polish author. Anyway, I read another thing last year where there's like a multiverse scientist guy, and then all of his other versions, like I'm you from next Thursday, shows up in like a weird thing. So it's been done before, but it was a fun ride. But it's like watching an action movie. You know, all right, that was cool. I'll forget this in 3 weeks. Might make an entertaining show.
I kept checking if I was reading the right book, because I was like, there's nothing about dark matter. Is this the wrong thing?
It really has nothing to do with it, yeah.
No, absolutely nothing. This was actually the second time that I read it. And the first time I like just didn't pay that close attention.
Did you read it when it like, came out or like? It,
yeah, when it came out closer to there. Yeah, somewhere around there. And it was like, okay. It was like a quick thriller. You know, it was entertaining. But then this time, because I like kind of knew what happened, I was like, ugh. You know, and especially the first half. I'm like, this is kind of dumb.
I could see this having no repeat value.
Yeah. Oh. And then I had actually forgotten about the by 50 million Jasons at the end. I didn't remember that part. But I was like, oh, yeah. So it was okay, except all the parts, all the elements of the book felt kind of random and didn't feel like they connected to each other because it's kind of like that.
Like the multiverse? Authors,
their first, they are connected, Jimmy. I feel like the author, his concept of the book, if I had to guess, right, the concept was the book was, what if you had to get back to your universe, but then 50 other you follow? He was like, I know, but, and so that's what's going to happen in the book. But then now I need to construct a plot that'll let that happen, which was the first half of the book, which was just kind of lame. And as soon as they like leave, as soon as they like escape into the box and then start going to the other universes, it's almost like nothing in the first half mattered. Nothing in the first half of the book mattered. Nothing about that came back. Nothing of it, nothing connected.
So what I said before, they just, characters, things just vanish. All that matters from the first two thirds of the book is the setup. There's a multiverse and someone stole his place in it. Other than that, every other thing gets forgotten. Like, I thought when he splits up with Amanda, they each had a bunch of ambulances. I thought she would come back at some point and like save, you know, be helpful or something. Never hear from her again. She's just gone. The villain guy who was like, I will kill every person to protect this company because I am a ruthless capitalist. He just gone. Doesn't matter. They never like send more goons into the multiverses looking for him or anything like that, even though they were willing to just mercenary, you know, execution style kill people before.
He doesn't go back and sabotage the device and all of his notes. You know, he doesn't like, you know, save the universe. He doesn't save the universe from the evil device that he created, you know.
Well, I guess his at some point you can't, right? If infinite things happen.
Because if it exists in one world.
Accessing them is the thing.
Yeah. If it exists in one world, it actually exists in like a bajillion worlds. So
even if you destroy it, it would still exist in infinite other worlds.
Yeah.
The Schrodinger's cat is out of the bag.
But then you would know if it was alive or dead. It's fucking.
It's a cat 22.
Oh, well done. That is. I hate you.
I know science.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So we've done, I mean, so by the time this episode comes out, our repost of Three Body Problem will have come out very recently. And like, well, now that's science fiction, where there's a whole lot of really strange science in it. And it's science concepts. It doesn't go overboard exactly in explaining how the science works. It just uses a ton of weird science to make weird things happen. Whereas this book, it's really just a thriller that uses science words to move the plot along.
Maybe in 2016, this was a newer concept because this was fucking popular. Like 500,000 people rated this on Goodreads. This was a big book.
Yeah. I mean, when did, I'm trying to remember, but like the multiverse thing is so common now that like it's the basis of the Marvel movies right now.
Well, I mean, that was an 80s thing. In the comics with the Crisis of Infinite Earths when they
they've been doing that, but like for like mainstream people, like everyone knows about the concept of the, like it was a thing that people had heard of, but like now everyone knows about it, the idea, at least through a basic understanding. I don't know when that happened, like what the status of that concept was in 2016. Maybe it was newer.
It couldn't have been as it definitely was newer. I don't know if it was brand new, but it's a fine book. It's fine. That's all. It's
perfectly reasonable, good time thriller that you never need to see again.
It could make a very entertaining 8-episode,
show. Yeah.
And they could do all sorts of cool special effects-y stuff of like, ooh, what does like traveling into the weird multiverse look like? And, oh, look, there's 17 of the same actor on the screen right now, and they're, you know, all jerking it. It's weird.
This is kind of like, you know, in one hand, the cool part is seeing the other universes like, oh, that's interesting or funny. I'm sure they're going to have some joke universes in there, like the hot dog figures. But like, you can't do that forever. Like, in some way, you got to get back to the plot, which is thin.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't expect Apple TV to really delve into the philosophy of what is self and who am I. Because they're all technically at the end, they're all him. He is any one of them from their perspective. But they don't really delve into that because this is a pop trash thriller.
So I guess anyone should read it if you want a palate cleanser. We've read a bunch of shit books lately that have sucked to read.
It was entertaining.
This was nice. This was a nice reprieve because it was fast. And I felt I'm understanding what's happening more or less, and shit's moving along.
This is having a nice deep dish pizza after you have spent months going to molecular gastronomy restaurants.
There's no such thing as a nice deep dish pizza.
You're right. This is more like a Pizza Hut pizzone.
Pizzone. Well, anything else to say about this book, Nate?
Tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us at Twitter at drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub.
And go leave us a review wherever you're listening. That'd be sweet. And check us out on Patreon.
And join us on Goodreads. Any of them.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.